All right, everyone. To usher us right into lunchtime, we're going to talk a little bit more about litigation, which will be really exciting, especially when it deals it deals with Winter Storm Uri, which a lot of us were here for a few years ago. So here to present on this topic is David Harrell. He's a partner in the Houston office of Troutman Pepper Locke. David has extensive first and second chair trial and arbitration experience in the energies of energy, in the areas of energy, commercial and land use, and permitting litigation. His energy litigation experience includes representing operators, producers, transporters, marketers, and royalty owners. And David litigates contract disputes, royalty disputes, environmental claims, throughput and processing claims, and permitting claims, both onshore and offshore. Thanks, David.
In addition to that, I also had 50 defendants in the, have 50 defendants in the Winter Storm Uri MDL, so have been in from the beginning representing a number of parties. Now, two takeaways from this title, and in contrast to the update we just heard. Number one, a lot of you in this room, if you were involved in renewable power generation in 2021, you know as much or more about this case than I do. And so there's a decent chance that I'm actually leading a therapy session as opposed to a case update. The other thing is, and I want to emphasize this, not only is it 4 years, but I'll emphasize the and counting part. There are Supreme Court arguments coming up in a couple of weeks. While I was sitting here this morning, I received notice of a new Supreme Court filing initiating yet another appeal coming out of the Winter Storm Uri MDL. So I'm going to tell you sort of how we got here in an overview of the case theories, procedure that the court worked through that helped shape what the ultimate impact is on the industry focusing on renewable power generation, talk about where we are and where we're going from there. Now, you'll hear Winter Storm Uri often described as unprecedented. In some of the appellate court opinions, the courts have emphasized this is not the first time it got cold in Texas. In 1989, we had what was described as really cold weather. In 2011, it was upgraded to a reference to a winter storm. 2014, the appellate court said, well, we had a polar vortex. And you see, with each passing period of time, the court's rhetoric dials up a little bit from cold weather to winter storm to polar vortex leading up to Winter Storm Uri. Now, you did have freezing temperatures in all 254 Texas counties, which would be unprecedented to come from the same storm. You had power outages across all of those counties. In some places, these power outages lasted for days. And depending on where you get your statistics, you'll see that 69% of Texans lost power during Winter Storm Uri. The average power outage lasted for about 42 hours. Now, I've talked about the storm lasting from February 10th to February 18th. That's pretty subjective. February 10th is when a number of transmission utilities started saying, we're going to have to send line crews out. There's cold weather coming. Get ready. But you had warnings going much earlier than that from the National Weather Service saying there's cold weather coming to Texas. But what really focuses is when you get to February 14th, Valentine's Day, my wife's birthday, which made it an interesting day. But you can see from the graph on the right-hand side that on February 14th at about 8 a.m., and this graph is not to scale, you had demand at about 60,000 megawatts with capacity just under 70,000 megawatts, meaning as the storm worsened, if you got about a 15, 16% increase in demand, you were going to outstrip supply. And that's what was being predicted. It's also predicted, looking forward on the demand curve, that was going to happen at about 4 p.m. on Valentine's Day. About 1 a.m. or so on February 15th, ERCOT started giving warnings about the need to start load shedding, and you were going to see rolling outages across the state. Generating outages started to decrease capacity, so the problem with the top curve, the capacity curve on this graph, is as you started to have outages, that capacity started to drop, and demand greatly outstripped what the supply or capacity was. Load shedding began February 16th, 2 days into the storm. Average temperatures across Texas were about 40 degrees below normal average. The storm finally subsides February 18th, but that's not really the end of the storm because at that point you still have line damage, crews haven't been able to restore power, and so people are still feeling the effects of...